Welcome, pudding people, to another episode of Everybody Loves Pudding. We are your hosts, Richard Geiger, Ken Seymour. Are you ready?
I am more than ready to eat lasagna and have fantasies about yellow cats.
You'll have to excuse my partner. He is he's just so excited about dealing with the subject again. We are going to be continuing with our history of comics in television. And that's, of course, comic books, comic strips, anything based on the fine artistic format that hits the pages before it hits the screen. Well,
yes, pages before screen. That's a key element in this.
Definitely. And one thing that we have found starting back from many, many years before this, there seems to be a bit of a streak. Certain characters become popular for an impressive chunk of time.
I mean, popular? Were the ratings popular?
Yes. Yes, the ratings were definitely definitely part of why they were everywhere. You could not find them, or you couldn't not find them when you were watching any sort of kids television in the 80s and apparently early 90s.
Now we're into the 90s, yes.
We are going to start with yet another instance of Garfield. Garfield had a running series, but he didn't just have this running series. He had a series of usually Thanksgiving or Christmas or some holiday-themed mm-hmm. specials, but sometimes he just has specials. So in what might not, I don't know, age quite so well when you think about the thematic elements of this particular special, this 22-minute piece of just absolute...
Well, we've made it to the 90s, so we're talking about, you know, the truest of nostalgia era here.
Tabby fabulousness. We've got Garfield's Feline Fantasies. Came out in 1990. It has exactly in it who you would expect. It's still Lorenzo Music doing the voice of Garfield. It's still Frank Welker.
And one thing I did notice about this particular one, sometimes when we look at our resources for this, and we're like, "What is this?" Or "I haven't seen this," or "I've never heard of this. Where can we watch it?" A lot of times, it'll tell us an indication. It appears as though this one is available on Peacock.
Yeah, the Peacock has a surprising array of different animated specials, but in this one, Garfield and Odie fantasize that they're on a Middle East mission to retrieve the banana of Bombay.
Wow. Okay.
I don't remember seeing this one, truthfully. But just looking at the cover art, it's got a very stereotypical looking Asian gentleman.
And a banana.
And a banana. So I'm thinking it's supposed to be a play on Indiana Jones, but with comedy.
Could be.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, they'll call it Feline Fantasies for nothing.
Well, he's sleeping all the time anyway because of the diabetes that he certainly has.
Diabetes.
Oh, yeah. All right. So that's all we're going to talk about with Garfield, because we just don't need to go over it. We've talked about Mr. Jim Davis being from Bloomington. We've talked about all the other stuff. We don't have to get into it. In fact, because of this, and because of the surprisingly limited number of things that came out in 1990, this episode's actually going to be fairly short and sweet.
We're on the precipice of the good stuff.
Yes. Well, precipice, I would say that we're right going to be getting into it this year specifically, but we're going to go from something we don't want to talk about because we've just talked it to death, and there's yet another one, to something that we've never talked about that we're going to have very little to say
about. Yeah, and we'll never talk about again.
That is 100% true. In 1990, you could, if you searched really hard.
I don't even know if it was on PBS. Who knows?
So there was a long-running cartoon in a British comic. So we're kind of bending things, but it came out in the United States. So that's why I'm kind of including it.
It says on Channel 4.
Right. So, I mean, it was U.S., released in the U.S., but created overseas.
It's very generic. What's Channel 4?
Channel 4, I watch Channel 4 all the time.
Okay, I see what it is now. We're cheating. Okay,
yes,
fine.
We are definitely cheating. There's not much that happened in 1990, but I figured it would be worth mentioning this because it's not American, but they're English speaking.
And there's not a banana and a cat and lasagna.
No, Billy the Fish. Actually, I said it released in the United States. I lied. It didn't. It released in, when it says Channel 4, it means like the only Channel 4 in the UK.
That's what I was wondering. I was like, wait a second here.
Oh, yeah, we're not going to talk much about this either. But it's basically a sports-related comic strip. There's not much to it.
Half man, half fish, and he was a goalkeeper for a soccer team. That sounds pretty British to me.
There's not a whole lot to it. But the thing is, when you only have a couple of options in a given year, and we just in the previous episode said we're only going to do 1 year at a time, and I immediately start looking at the following year like, uh-oh.
A little bit of a lull before the storm.
a little bit of a light year. All right. So let's do the only two that actually matter in 1990.
It's fair.
All right, we're gonna completely pass that. There was actually a couple of big names that got shows, and they weren't just animated shows; they were live action shows in 1990. We are going to start with Swamp Thing. Now, is this one that you had a chance to, by any stretch of the imagination, see?
I don't believe so.
It was surprisingly good. I mean, think slightly more advanced Incredible Hulk television show.
See, now that I see a couple of the clips, I want to say that I did see maybe an episode or two of this, but definitely not all the collection.
Yeah. Swamp Thing, if you're not familiar with the character, first appeared in 1971 in the House of Secrets number 92. Now, this was a character that was created by a handful of people, including Alan Moore, if you're not familiar with our respect for this gentleman's work. The Watchmen was a big thing, but he's done more than that. Alan Moore has a pretty impressive pedigree of different characters and things that he's worked on over the years. Now, whether or not you necessarily like his views now or whatever, regardless, he helped kind of birth this into being. And so back in the day, it's just a guy that got kind of turned into sort of a Frankenstein story, but with a sort of environmentalist twist to it.
The green.
Yeah, no, that's newer. Yeah. That was never in the original.
See, I was thinking about that too, because of all the characters that you could, let's say we're going to take money, put an investment down, and we're going to put this into live action onto a TV screen. Let's do Swamp Thing.
Which they did, because only a few months before Swamp Thing came out, Man-Thing was created by Marvel. This happens a lot in comics.
Swamp Thing's cooler.
I would say yes. In a lot of ways, Swamp Thing is cooler.
Man-Thing.
It's hard to have a character be really interesting when he doesn't talk.
Yeah. Glowing eyes, though.
Well, we saw that Werewolf by Night. He was pretty cool in that.
Yeah, I like that.
But so Swamp Thing, pretty cool. Dude turns into a monster, and eventually down the line, they retcon it so that he's essentially a representation of Earth, kind of, or living things more specifically.
And very powerful.
Yes, extraordinarily so. Now, the television show ran for a few years. It ran between 1990 and 1993. It was an easy watch. It was half an hour long. Not much to it. It's just got a really interesting vibe, a sort of a feel. This is the era where practical effects were still kind of the big thing. Because if you tried to do, I mean, this is still like, think back to how Star Wars felt. I mean, with the drawn in laser pew pews, they were still kind of at that level if you weren't doing practical effects.
Yeah, I think of this era, and you think of the movies that we love, like RoboCop, for example, was a lot of practical effects, and Predator, lots of practical effects with a sprinkling of some special effects.
Yeah. So you got Dick Durick, who played the Swamp Thing throughout the entire series. Now, if you don't know who Dick Durick is, let me tell you, you're not going to know who Dick Durick is.
70-some episodes for this one, so... Yeah.
Well, I mean...
His biggest role to date.
Well, it's one of those things where, if I remember correctly, this is the gentleman that was in the suit.
Yeah.
So you would never really see his face. I mean, if you want to think of the human side of things, Mark Lindsay Chapman played Anton Arcane.
The Good Doctor.
Yeah, but, you know, this is one of those things where you would get... you know, guest stars that would pop up just like a normal kind of 80s, 90s television show. People would come through it.
I like how there's a David Aykroyd, you know, kind of like Dan Aykroyd, except it's spelled completely different.
Yeah. There's just looking at the sheer number of people and going, I know like a handful. We got Ray Wise in there.
Ray Wise, yeah, I like him.
Peggy O'Neill. You know, so you got a few people here and there. Peter Mark Richmond, yeah.
Well, you know, something that goes for 70 episodes. I mean, as not okay, foolish isn't the word, right? Silly,
right.
Maybe. But if you think about it in the grand scheme of things, not one that has quite the mass appeal, and this is something that continued to go for three seasons. So, like. Kudos to them that they brought it to the point where the casual fan could still enjoy what was going on.
Yeah.
So I'm not familiar with the character to know, like, good guys and bad guys. That character were. Did we see other DC characters show up in this run of episodes?
No, not to my knowledge. It was kind of self-contained, but... it's one of those things, it's one of those things where this is such kind of a weird character to begin with. Who are you going to cross him with?
Some bad guy that's got fire capabilities.
I think inevitably they did that. He's basically, he's just got the one bad guy. So in the whole series, it's just Anton Arcane versus Swamp Thing the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah, because I looked for any names that that kind of triggered anything, but I'm not seeing any. And it's been so long since I've seen this particular show. I mean, you got doctors, you got intruders, you got random hitchhiker, random people. I don't see...
One episode.
Yeah, this is all... I think they were such low budget. Well, maybe not low budget, but probably just playing it by the seat of their pants, getting it through to make it happen. Yeah.
Ponytail. Little... Jeff Moldovan always plays that ponytail.
Yeah. So, anyway, if you haven't read the comics that he's in, he's had his own title several times. A lot of fun. He was a big part of Brightest Day, that they ran a number of years ago, and you know, a bunch of different storylines. Justice League Dark, he'll pop up in periodically, mm-hmm. things like that.
If you like the DC animated movies, he shows up in a handful of those as well.
So, you know, fun character. And just judging by the clips that I've seen and my memories of this show, I remember it being fun. I mean, somewhere along the lines, like a Toxic Avenger style fun, not that cheesy. They were trying to kind of be serious, but it's hard not to love it. If you look at that, just you look at the suit, the makeup for the character itself, it's just, it's clear that it was made with a certain amount of affection.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't look like it was just thrown together. Like they had a budget and time and cared. And maybe the budget didn't go to other things, but at least for the suit, it actually looked like they tried.
Yeah, love it. All right, so we've got one more. This is going to be an exceptionally short episode.
Nice.
All right, so let's go to the one that I have very specific memories of that I had fun watching. It was one of my favorite shows in 1990 just because I was kind of a comic book nut even at that point. And to see them put together what seemed like a more serious attempt at a comic book show that was not animated, I was hyped, to say the least. And we're going to be talking about The Flash.
The Flash. So, okay. In looking at some of these, I think it showed the Swamp Thing was on. That's a USA network?
Believe it did.
And then do you remember what this was on?
Like ABC, NBC, one of those two.
Yeah, so this got more of that, quote, traditional national presence from stations that could be accessed by anybody that had an antenna, where the USA network, not so much. So the fact that they put the money and the effort into it and put it on an easily accessible, you know, prime slot location for TV shows that they were ready to put the effort in.
Yeah, there's no doubt that they were making a real effort in order to make this happen. Now, we've talked about The Flash in the movies because we did a review of the Flash movie that came out, sadly, not too long ago, to zero fanfare and much problems.
Yeah, and fewer box office results.
Right. But just in case you don't remember from that particular review, we're talking about the Barry Allen Flash. This is not the first Flash that was ever created in the Golden Age. This is the second Flash, the Silver Age Flash, that was basically, you know, an attempt. When they went from the Golden Age to the Silver Age, they were trying to move away from things that were like mystically powered stuff to more sci-fi kind of element, which is it kind of makes sense. It was just kind of an aspect of the time. pardon me. But yeah, he first appeared in Showcase number 4, which came out in 1956.
That's a long day ago.
Yes, it is. But, you know, he's working for the police, trying to solve mysteries, got splashed with some icky goo and some chemicals while a lightning strike hit him. And instead of killing him, it let him run really fast.
I like how over the years the Flash has evolved in terms of, like, he's fast, the end. And now it's like he's fast, but that fast applies to
everything.
And I like how they pay attention more to things like his metabolism or things like him being able to create vortexes and whirlwinds. And you know, those sound silly, and those were there, I think, before. But there's so many other aspects of what the Flash can really do. And maybe the true fans know that he is, like, uber powerful. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And the speed force element now that they've thrown in there for him to travel through different, you know, time frames and different
dimensions.
And he's just really cool and really impactful. And to try to do a really meaningful show and movie honestly is hard, right? Yeah. I mean, it's hard.
I absolutely love in the clip that we were watching here where he's chasing a guy on a motorcycle and you're seeing the effects of the time. They're showing the blur because he's running really fast. But in order to stop the motorcycle, he's going to take a 2x4 and stick it into the wheel spokes. So he's a blur, but then you get like first person view from the camera and you see his arm with the wood reaching slowly towards the spokes of the bike. Certain aspects of the show were like on point, and certain aspects they couldn't really do it the way. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they did handle some of the stuff you're talking about. When he's first learning to use his powers, he takes off, he doesn't know how to control it, he runs all the way to the edge of the city and crashes into the ocean before he can stop running. So that was kind of cool. They did the whole metabolism thing. He's constantly eating. They show a clip even in there. It's like, oh, I'm going to clean up my apartment really fast. And so he goes really fast and cleans it up, but he moves so fast, he just causes this massive mess because he moved too fast.
Moved too fast, yeah.
It was just, this show was so much fun. And John Wesley Shipp, who played Barry Allen for the one season that this was on, did a great job. I mean, he had that clear-cut kind of, you know, the big jaw,
mm-hmm.
you know, traditional handsome kind of look, but he was just really likable.
And I think the thing about him as an actor who played this character, he's still all about it. Like, he goes to different conventions mm-hmm. and, you know, puts his face out there. I don't know what he's done since then.
Well, since then, he's also been on The Flash. He plays Barry Allen's dad in the newest show.
Well, that makes sense.
And he also plays Jay Garrick, the original Flash.
The original, yes.
So, I mean, he
gets... With the metal-rimmed hat.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, he got some good stuff. They gave him some real love when that show came out, and he did good in that show. So that's the thing I love about the DC television shows around those periods of time is they understand the history of the characters. They understand the history of the shows and the people that were involved, and they respect it, and they want these people involved, not just because it's a pop for the people that used to watch this other stuff, but it's just kind of a sign of respect for the forerunners that, you know, started the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I like Alex Desert. He was in a number of shows in the 80s and 90s, I seem to remember. And I love that hair. You know, that was the thing that I kind of remember is like, man, he had great hair back in the day. Was he in High Fidelity?
Yes.
Right. So, oh yeah, he was. There it is. And Swingers. Yeah, he's in Becker, of course. Yeah, so he's been in a ton of stuff. Dude's a good actor. Always fun to watch.
I like the presentation. So If you look at, like we talked about, the current version of the Flash show and the uniform, the outfit that they have for the Flash, it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But for something done in 1990, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
He's obviously kind of ripped.
Oh, yeah, way more ripped than you'd ever think of the Flash being. So that's not a runner's body. That's a weightlifter's body.
Mm-hmm.
But you got Richard Belzer in about half of the episodes. You've got some other really kind of interesting things. We have Mr. Mark Hamill shows up a couple of times as Toyman, I think, if my memory doesn't play tricks on me there.
I was going to ask, much like the other ones, are there some classic Flash bad guys that show up in here?
Yes, very much so. So it's, let's see here. You've got
Sven Ulthursson Omega. So Sven Ulthursson was in Conan.
Right.
Is he
the Trickster? That's what it was.
The Trickster.
Wasn't Toy Man, it was Trickster.
He had a T.
But yeah, so there were a couple. I'm trying to remember. There's at least one or two. Captain Cold, right. Captain Cold showed up.
Oh, nice.
It's
been so long. I mean, it was one of those things too, where when I grew up, I saw the commercials for this, like, yeah, I really want to watch that, but it didn't really have a means of paying attention enough to know the times and the day for this to be on. So we'd only catch it in pure accident.
Yeah. So, I mean, there were several. I know I'm missing some other ones. There's such a big cast, even just for a single season. And the people that would show up are the normal thing. They show up for an episode, and then they don't come back. So it's you'd have to really scroll down through a very long list. Yeah, I mean, I had so much fun watching this particular show. And the Barry Allen character is a lot of fun. If you're unfamiliar, created by Robert Kaniger and John Broome and Carmine Infantino.
Is this something that is available to watch today?
Why, it sure is.
You know what it is on?
It's Max.
Oh, it's on Max. Okay. Guess I should pay attention to that, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's an old show. So.
Well, they didn't have it on there before. And I guess I haven't looked for it here recently. It's very possible they got.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they've added a lot of stuff.
Here, yeah, they have. But, and it's possible that, you know, as of the time that we're recording this, it's not on there again because they keep changing things. Things go on, things go off. I know my son was particularly perturbed because he was watching back through Burn Notice, as I was too, and he was using Freevee to do it. And they just took it off. No warning.
Bye.
Just gone. It's a downside of our current way of watching television. I'm kind of curious. We'll have to do an episode about this at some point. The nature of watching TV now is so... It's both incredibly easy yet incredibly difficult at the same time.
Well, I think part of it is you can watch whenever you want to watch the things that are available.
Right.
But the ones that they still do on a weekly basis, it's just like, put them all out so I can watch the stuff, you know. I guess there's both sides to that argument. But
well, it's not even just that. So, like, there's going to be movies that you might like. Like, I'm a big fan of the film Chef. It's one of my favorites. If I'm in a bad mood, it cheers me up. But it will jump from streaming service to streaming service. And you never know if it's one that you have, because who buys every streaming service? That's not really feasible.
Unless you're balling, son.
Yeah. Well, and if you're doing that, then you probably aren't going to be watching.
That's the other thing that's difficult about it, too, is the amount of content. There are so many shows that I would like to watch, but right now I'm just focused on a few things because I can watch them in bits. I don't have to have like all the hardcore attention to pay to them. Some shows are 20 minutes, some shows are an hour. So it's like you actually have to plan ahead of time. I'm going to watch these shows on this day because that's what I'm going to do. And then April's coming out with a bunch of stuff, and May, there's just a lot coming out.
Now, before we end this episode, I am going to point out just a couple of the guest actors. You know, we talked about with the Swamp Thing, you know, a handful of people that were in it. You may not be quite familiar. And again, because it's a USA show, they maybe didn't get all of the top-tier talent. But because this is network television, the guest stars they would get, top-tier. I mean, take a look at...
I saw Bryan Cranston in there. This is right around the time him... If you think about it, he was on Seinfeld, right?
Right.
For a few episodes in the early 90s as well. So he was just kind of getting his legs in being recognizable.
But you got Lieutenant Tasha Yar. Denise Crosby came in for an episode. Whoops.
Perry, where is she at? Perry Reeves. If you watched Entourage, you would know Perry Reeves.
David Cassidy. I mean, how can you not know David Cassidy? I just realized I'm old. If you're old, you know David Cassidy.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's the sheer number of people that came through here just for a single episode. It's like, oh, I'm seeing all of these names.
Angela Bassett.
Yep. I mean, it's just kind of crazy. Jeffrey Combs came through for an episode.
And some of these may only be, they may be in there for 30 seconds.
Yeah. But they still got that little bit of FaceTime. Good stuff.
So, yes, if you have, oh, there's Jerry Ryan, too. if you have Max, which, oh, Mark Dacascos. Oh, what was he? Ooh. You know who Mark Dacascos is?
I know where the Costco is. Of course, I know who Mark Dacascos is. He was in a Keanu Reeves film that I was particularly fond of.
He's been in a lot of, what'd you call them, maybe B series type movies for a long time. However, he was the Iron Chef for a while too.
Yeah, I remember back in the 94, the Double Dragon film that came out so bad.
Yes, very bad.
He's not bad.
No, he's great.
He is awesome in everything. But that's right, Adam West did show up. Of course, Adam West showed up in the show.
Hippie guy.
Yeah. Anyway, so there you have it. 1990, not a huge year for comic-based shows, but there were a couple. And if you're willing to really twist things, there's like one extra one.
Well, isn't there something big coming in 1991?
Oh, there might be. There almost certainly is. In 91, there's actually going to be a whole host of animated things, first of all.
Mm-hmm. And then 92. Oh, my gosh. So we're like I said, we are just coming into the big time.
And then there was a TV pilot that came out in 91 that we're going to talk about.
And then...
Then 92 again, is where things just really...
They just... The good stuff takes off.
Yeah. All right, listeners. As always, you can find us on social media. It's not hard. We're not hiding. It may feel like we're hiding because I don't think we get moved to the top of the list whenever we make comments on anything.
No.
But we would love to hear from you. Did we miss anything that came out in 1990? I mean, started in 1990. Let us know. If you find a comic-based film or television show that we haven't talked about, we will shout you out in every social media platform that we know how to interact with.
All of them. Maybe multiple times. Maybe we just spend a day pushing this person out. Send us a picture. And like, this person said this. And then like 17 posts later, they'll get the idea of the discussion that this person sent one sentence to us. Like, you guys did great. Thanks.
That's right. But until next week, we will be returning, obviously. We have some, let's say, we're going to have some opinions on a television show that just started.
There's a relation.
There is.
Here.
There is.
There's a reason.
But it's one we're both very excited about, and I cannot wait to really dig into this just rebirth of a classic show. We're, of course, talking about X-Men 97.